U.S. taxpayers were now paying his salary, Cadillac never really stopped working for the Al-Hibris. And that year, Christmas arrived early for the Lebanese arms dealers. Immediately after his appointment, Cadillac maneuvered deftly to move management of the Strategic National Stockpile, which he had conceived and created, from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to his own office, giving him authority over all acquisitions for the $7 billion contents. As soon as Emergent completed its acquisition of the Sanofi smallpox jab, Cadillac moved to increase the government's stockpile of these worthless and dangerous vaccines. Sanofi Pasteur had been charging the stockpile $4.27 per dose and had 5 years remaining on a 10-year government contract worth about $425 million. The Al-Hibris initially sought only a modest price increase, but Cadillac generously finalized a sweetheart deal with his friends and former business partners, doubling the 5-year term that the Al-Hibris had requested to 10 years. Cadillac also doubled the number of doses per year, from 9 to 18 million, and gave the Al-Hibris twice the price per dose that Sanofi received. Cadillac's new contract for the Al-Hibris promised Emergent $9.44 per dose in the first year, with that figure rising annually throughout the contract term. In the end, Cadillac awarded the Al-Hibris a 10-year, $2.8 billion no-bid contract to purchase their smallpox vaccines. The stockpile was already overflowing with smallpox vaccines in 2018. The CDC reported on its website in June 2019 and continues to say that the stockpile already had sufficient smallpox vaccine for every American. Cadillac explained that his large purchase was necessary to keep the production base warm, another way of saying to keep the Al-Hibris fat. Cadillac wrapped his gift with a red ribbon, Cadillac's brazenly corrupt announcement that the stockpile would no longer fund Emergent's competitors. Emergent BioSolutions received more than $1.2 billion in contracts from Cadillac during the Trump years, with millions more coming from NIAID and DARPA. Cadillac's brassy approach inspired awestruck admiration within the pharmaceutical industry. In March 2020, President Donald Trump's HHS Secretary Alex Azar, former Eli Lilly president and pharma lobbyist, designated Cadillac to lead the department's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Cadillac's appointment was a signal to Big Pharma of the impending orgy of ransack, pillage, and plunder. Naturally, the Al-Hibris would enjoy the king's share of booty. That same year, Cadillac invoked the emergency use authorization to purchase $370 million worth of the Al-Hibris' licensed and unlicensed anthrax vaccines. 2020 was the year with the largest sales of Emergent's anthrax vaccines to date. After the FDA authorized Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine for emergency use in February 2021, Cadillac pressured the pharmaceutical giant to sign a $480 million contract with the Al-Hibris to perform the manufacturing of J&J's COVID-19 jabs. Forbes headlined, "Little-known publicly traded company given massive deal to manufacture one-shot COVID-19 vaccine." By June, Cadillac's BARDA upped the ante with another $628 million gift to Emergent BioSolutions for scaling up production of targeted vaccine candidates. Emergent signed separate deals worth hundreds of millions with AstraZeneca and Bill Gates's Novavax to manufacture vaccine doses at its Gaithersburg, Maryland factory. A March 7, 2021 New York Times expose about Emergent's crooked relationship with the government reported that $1 billion in payments to the company for anthrax and smallpox vaccines took up almost half the Strategic National Stockpile's budget. Emergent had become the number one vendor to the stockpile. To finance these windfalls for the El Hibris, Cadillac needed to short other stockpile supplies. By the time the novel coronavirus emerged, the stockpile had only 12 million N95 respirators. Cadillac also scuttled an Obama-era initiative to spend a relatively trivial $35 million to build a machine that could produce 1.5 million N95 masks per day. To rationalize their inventory gaps, Cadillac pled poverty. The New York Times reported shocking shortfalls in protective gear for healthcare workers, ventilators, and masks, just as the COVID-19 crisis called for them. Well aware of the situation, Cadillac was unwilling to free up money by reducing the supply of anthrax vaccines. The El Hibris' second sugar daddy, Dr. Anthony Fauci, was also raining down manna on Emergent. At the beginning of the pandemic, Emergent signed a development deal with NIAID for a plasma-derived therapy. Dr. Fauci aimed to incorporate the company's COVID-HIG product into one of NIAID's clinical studies, with initial funding of $14.5 million coming from Cadillac through BARDA. In turn, Cadillac supported Dr. Fauci's pet project, Moderna, the mRNA jab caper that Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates considered their holy grail. In mid-April 2020, Cadillac arranged for BARDA to provide Moderna up to $483 million to accelerate the Fauci-Gates vaccine's development and manufacturing. That amounted to about half of what BARDA doled out to all of Moderna's competitors combined, including Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and AstraZeneca. Cadillac was also generous to Bill Gates, arranging a $1.6 billion grant, the largest to date, from Operation Warp Speed to Gates's biotech selection, Novavax. Although the company, based in Gaithersburg, Maryland, had never brought a vaccine to market in its 33-year history and was then on the verge of collapse, Gates and his obedient minions at the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness, CEPI, had placed a bet on Novavax's technology, which uses moth cells to pump out crucial molecules at a faster rate than typical vaccines. Cadillac's generosity with his warp speed wampum caused Novavax's stock to surge 30%. John J. Trizzino, Novavax's chief business and financial officer, said the company did nothing inappropriate but acknowledged that it used its connections to Gates to help win the deals. In September 2019, less than a month before COVID began circulating, the Gates Foundation made a $55 million pre-IPO equity investment in BioNTech. The company also had never brought a single product to market. Soon afterward, the German government followed Gates with a $445 million infusion into BioNTech. On July 21, 2020, when Robert Cadillac committed Operation Warp Speed to a $2 billion purchase of 100 million doses of BioNTech Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine, the company's stock value soared, with Bill Gates's equity shares increasing to an evaluation of $1.1 billion. In October 2020, Emergent became one of four companies collaborating on a clinical trial for a combination treatment regimen that included Dr. Fauci's drug remdesivir as a background therapy. The company said in a statement, "Emergent is proud to continue our partnership with NIAID, NIH, and BARDA to advance potential therapeutic solutions for COVID-19 in hospitalized patients." Bill Gates owned a large stake in remdesivir's manufacturer, Gilead. WHO's own studies showed clearly, as even WHO acknowledged, that remdesivir was useless against COVID. Worse, the drug's extreme toxicity, remdesivir's side effects mimic the late-stage symptoms of COVID, may actually aggravate the severity of the illness. To overcome these obstacles, Dr. Fauci financed and rigged a suite of flawed studies to suggest deceptively, that remdesivir might slightly reduce the number of days a patient would stay in the hospital. The WHO's much larger studies proved that there was no reduction in length of hospital stay. Nevertheless, using his blatantly orchestrated research, Dr. Fauci then forced remdesivir's approval through FDA as standard of care for COVID. At the same time, Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates were financing and promoting studies to discredit chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine and sabotage ivermectin, two effective COVID remedies that posed an existential threat to remdesivir and the entire Fauci-Gates COVID vaccine enterprise. Emergent's CEO, Robert Kramer, boasted to Wall Street analysts in February 2021 that the year had been the strongest year in our 22-year history. The New York Times reported that Emergent's stock had reached such a zenith that Fuad El-Hibri cashed in shares and options worth over $42 million, more than he had redeemed in the previous 5 years combined. When in April 2021, Emergent BioSolutions ruined 15 million Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines due to quality control mishaps at its poorly managed Baltimore production facility, Congress launched an investigation into whether Emergent used high-level connections to get billions of dollars in federal contracts despite a history of failing to deliver satisfactorily on its contracts. Congressional investigators also raised concerns about Emergent's inadequate staff training, persistent quality control issues, and the company stiffing the government with an unjustified 800% price increase for its anthrax vaccine. The Democratic chairs of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform and Select Oversight Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis focused their inquiry on Cadillac's role. In a letter, the committee chairs complained that Cadillac appears to have pushed for the $628 million award to Emergent to develop a COVID vaccine factory, despite indications that Emergent did not have the ability to reliably fulfill the contract. As the top dog among the COVID-19 pandemic's government managers, Cadillac had promoted Emergent as the United States' primary vaccine manufacturing facility. In April 2021, The Times published another extensive exposé reporting that Emergent had not yet been able to produce a single acceptable dose of any COVID-19 vaccine. Following exposés in the New York Times and the Washington Post, J&J took over the production at that plant. The FDA stepped in after inspecting the facility and ordered Emergent to halt all production of materials for COVID-19 vaccines pending a review and remediation, and to quarantine all existing materials. HHS ordered Emergent to discard millions of contaminated doses. Instead, in March 2021, the company shipped millions of doses of its defective vaccines to Canada, Europe, South Africa, and Mexico. The House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis held a hearing on May 19, 2021, and ordered Emergent to turn over all its federal contracts since 2015 and all communications with Robert Cadillac. Emergent's political invincibility left the company unbowed by all those scandals. In July 2020, Emergent announced a 5-year, $450 million deal to manufacture COVID drugs for Johnson & Johnson. In February 2021, HHS awarded Emergent another contract, this one worth up to $22 million, to develop a COVID-19 therapy. Atlantic Storm 2003-2005. In January of 2003, and again in 2005, a cabal of U.S. and European military, intelligence, and medical officials germ-gamed another exercise they called Atlantic Storm. Thomas V. Inglesby and the Spooks, Tara O'Toole and Colonel Randall J. Larson, were the simulation's principal authors. Both the 1999 HHS smallpox simulation and the June 2001 Dark Winter smallpox simulation focused ominously not on public health, but on the quandary of how to impose control over U.S. and global populations during public health emergencies, how to sweep away civil rights and impose mass obedience to military and medical technocrats. Atlantic Storm further probed these sinister disquisitions. High-level government figures, including Madeleine Albright playing the President of the United States and WHO Director General Gro Harlem Brundtland playing herself, hosted a summit of transatlantic military and intelligence agency planners coordinating responses after a radical terrorist band unleashes smallpox. According to the After Action Report, the key issues for summit principals were coping with scarcity of critical medical resources such as vaccines and assuring a uniform coordinated response among all governments in the world. The simulation stressed the inadequacy of current multilateral frameworks like NATO and the EU to cope with social, economic, and political disruption from an international epidemic, be it natural or the result of a bioterrorist attack, and emphasized the importance of developing systems to coordinate global lockstep security protocols that went beyond just stockpiling vaccines or training more doctors. Characteristically, the assembled eminences bypassed any discussion of bolstering people's immune system response or testing and distributing off-label therapeutics and went directly to recommending militarized strategies including police state controls, mass propaganda and censorship, and the suspension of civil rights and due process rulemaking in favor of diktats by health authorities, all aimed at coercive vaccination of the population. These scenarios, which health officials and spooks conceived of and gamed back in 2005, became our collective reality in 2020 and 2021. Global Mercury 2003. Between September 8th and 10th of that same year, the spooks at the U.S. State Department Office of the Coordinator for Counterterrorism organized another scenario exercise dubbed Global Mercury with the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, the WHO, and the Department of State. Over a 56-hour period, public health technocrats coordinated communications and lockstep response between trusted agents from the GHSAG nations, the United States, the UK, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and Mexico, during a simulated outbreak after self-inoculated terrorists spread smallpox to countries around the world. The SCL Simulation 2005. Atlantic Storm and Global Mercury were additional loud notes amplifying persistent Pentagon signals that biosecurity was the emerging growth sector for national defense. In response to such toxins, private military contractors began thronging to the pandemic surveillance and psyops sector like hogs to a corn crib. Long before Robert Mercer, with his daughter Rebecca, became Donald Trump's biggest private donors, and before they launched the right-wing social media platform Parler, he created the first private sector provider of psychological warfare services in 1993. The Mercer's Strategic Communication Laboratories, SCL Group, was the parent company to the notorious data-manipulating firm Cambridge Analytica. This brand-new psyops firm, headquartered in the UK, drew some of the largest crowds in 2005 when it set up a high-tech propaganda ops center at the UK's annual military technology showcase. As a contemporary article in Slate described the SCL simulation, classic signs of smallpox are threatening a pandemic of epic proportions when a shadowy media firm steps in to help orchestrate a sophisticated campaign of mass deception. SCL takes on the task of convincing the entire country's population to comply with lockdown rules by inventing a lie about an unleashed cloud of toxic chemicals. The mission's objective is to prevent mass panic and casualties from the classified threat of smallpox. SCL feeds disinformation to the press and manufactures medical data. Londoners stay indoors, convinced that even a short walk into the streets could be fatal. The article continues, "If SCL weren't so earnest, it might actually seem to be mocking itself, or perhaps George Orwell. At the end of the smallpox scenario, dramatic music fades out to a taped message urging buyers to embrace strategic communications, which it describes as the most powerful weapon in the world. What makes SCL's strategy so unusual is that it proposes to propagate its campaign domestically –